Who have also shielded us And given these other issues, you know, what about the whole world, the regular world, the circle, that is where we can knowledge and knowledge. Not that we have the reason, no more, but our others are no more.
The latter day unpleasant for them.
And if all the law is not the power, all may come unmeasurable blessings. He therefore first was first official to the church. At the end of that official, and we must study very carefully for God's way, he says, I will ask you, when I shall have passed through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. Thus, instead of coming by and bringing the head from the end of the car, for the word of the angel, giving the general opportunity to adjust our hands with your servants, so that when you pay it, will be able to hear it all. And it will give you an opportunity to deal with those matters, whether they be called, ordered, given, from a direct visit to God, he can rule for us in Macedonia and ultimately in the world. Now, this is very important for all the governors of Corinth to cry their arms. You must trust this man. He's capricious. He's fickle. He's not reliable. And they had to spring all that they thought they needed in order to feel perfectly secure with them. And that's why in the second epistle of the Corinthians, Paul is angry at himself more than he does anywhere else he is in the Epistle of Paul's Corinthians. Not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of the saints of Corinth. Because if they took it over the saints of man, they would lend the hand of God ready that the land increased. And therefore, it was wonderful that they should feel well that Paul did integrity and the apostle should be fully known. We proceed with these five readings. With the call of the readings, the reading happens several afternoons, which will be time under judgment that Paul's obliged to do this for. So the first epistle to the Corinthians was a different letter. And so we know, Paul said in the last chapter, I will carry Ephesus unto Pentecost. To the churches of Asia, saluted you. He was carrying evidently my hands. Paul's heart was totally He longed to see Titus and discover exactly how he set me apart and the songs of his first. He goes to Christ, hoping to meet him there, but not as a Eventually, he meets him in Macedonia, and having heard the news, and so ahead, he writes the reason to study over the Now, that's literally the end of the Now the second thing I want to notice is this. How about the relationship between the second and the first church? We already observed by myself in this church. The Paul then said at the end of the first church that he would come to Christ via Macedonia, having told us about the fact that he would come. We observed the reasons for the operation of the good, solid, spiritual reasons for leading back there in our ordinary But then the second division of the Corinthians enables us to see the heart of the man who wrote the question. We're going to say, Paul's heart. They even charged him as being a woman. And for those of us who know our Bibles, we will be able to see the impact of our ideas of very successful. We're going to not understand why Paul wrote the first. And so you observe the expression, I wrote, occurs nine times. And if I wasn't too hurried, we'll draw our attention to these things in the final reading tomorrow, but I won't believe I can get a close doesn't close. And I wrote this saying unto you, thank you, Lord,
Chapter 1. By now to them that are examining the flesh, That you take the lemon, put it in your hand, and oil it for and a light bottle of coffee.
Yes.
That matter has not been satisfactorily settled. And so when we come to the second epistle, chapter 3, which you observe the apostle say, do you think it is any commandment? Or need we add some other citizens of commendation to you, or letters of commendation to copy? And of course that matter is particularly emphasized in chapters 10 and 13, which I will look out with and study at the time, but which must be brought in mind as we go through this epistle. For it is evidence, sir, of waiting now, but it is probably emphasis. And this speech to be careful of all unmastery to somehow caught upon
this evil.
Now, another thing I want to say, having looked at the historical background, and having looked at the relationship between the two epistles, is this: we must notice now the circumstances of the apostle at the time of Christ. And it's summed up for me in two verses in English, chapter 7 and verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had rest, but we were troubled on every side. Now here is the thing I have in mind, without the writings within the fields. You'll know that. Without the writings within the fields. Then he said something similar in chapter 11. Besides those things which are without, that is an ongoing daily, the care of all the churches. And if you put those two verses side by side, chapter 7 verse 5 and chapter 11 verse 28, you will observe the common denominator is this: that all was subject to tremendous external pressure, without the writings, besides those things of our inheritance. Not only was he under the siege from those things which were there, but he was subject to great burden, so far as the welfare of the saints were concerned, without the findings, within, for fears. Besides those things which are in that, that would come in the common daily, the care of all the churches. So he refers to external pressure, without the findings. You know that in chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. Which we know this later on in the book of God in chapter 4, verse 8, through chapter 5 and verse 1. And having 3 weeks of reading or so, we would have mentioned particularly in chapter 11, without forgotten. But within the fears, there are internal pressures. His deep concern for the safety of Corinth and the care of all the churches. Somehow I would submit so far as Corinth is concerned, in chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, I am jealous over you with a God of jealousy. Paul states the desire of his heart, as I may present you, he says, and the church you to Christ. Let's never forget, Paul was a man of deep concern, a man of tender heart, a man set on the best for the sake of God. There was nothing arrogant, there was nothing abrasive, there was nothing self-assertive about it, or arrogant, yes, but arrogant, no. The apostle emphasizes, therefore, his deep concern for the dear saints of God at Corinth. When we get that, further details will come out in this chapter. How about the structure of the discussion? Do you say, oh, dear? Here comes a whole long catalogue of the visitors' terms. I have not done the difference. I can perhaps even divide the second epistle to the Corinthians by following the order of its historical record. Paul had come from Asia. He was now at the time of writing in Macedonia, and he was going to Corinth. Now, bear that in mind and look at the structure of the epistle. In chapters 1 to 7, he tells us particularly what has happened in Asia. In chapters 8 and 9, he tells us what was happening in Macedonia. In chapters 10 and 13, he tells us what would happen at Corinth, particularly so far as the false apostles were concerned. And I don't want to be listening to that. in general broad terms, that the structure of the epistle follows the historical route that Paul took to the end of. So we have the Corinthian letter, we have the Macedonian letter, and we have the Corinthian or Italian section, if you want to put it in line. He speaks about things in the past, particularly in chapter 1-7, this happened in the present chapter 8-9, and this is what happened in the reader chapters 10-13. Now I appreciate that's not unusual way to look at, but more people, I'm sure, who will respond to the people in charge if there are any people. Now what about our section this week of the chapters 1-7? I don't want to get out of this way, but in chapter 1-2, Paul reveals his motive to us. His motive is traveling to, we'll think about Africa. His motive is inviting to, we'll think about Africa. His motive is preaching to them, we'll think about that, but more particularly, tomorrow. So in chapter 1-2, he reveals his motive. In chapter 3, he describes his service to ministers of the new covenant. Why did we talk about that? Well, of course, does he not say in chapter 11 and verse 32 about Paul's vision? Are they being provision so far? Are they being influenced so far? Are they assisting so far? Here is a man who is connected very much with the old covenant, speaking of himself and as minister of the new covenant. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in paper to stone, but in writing paper to the love. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And you will know, of course, in chapter 3, he who trusts the law with the gospel. Oh, this is the gospel. The ministration of death, as opposed to the ministration of the Spirit. The ministration of condemnation. As opposed to the ministration of righteousness. So, chapter 1-2, in this first section of our epistle, Paul reveals his motive to. Chapter 3, he describes his service to. Chapter 4 and 5, he emphasizes his assurance to. Whether he died, or whether he's dead. Whether he died, he says he has to share it in other things. And you'll learn to talk in chapter 4, and in verse 6, started to be spiritually intent for the prayer in the letter. And then he said, well, now, please. You have counted the time, and the word is old, and the word is old, and there's a very violent idea behind it. Is the idea of running slow, not being left upon another, being cast down? Should I come to the Bible, yes, there you go. Well, I will tell you. That the hope that I have in life is a hope of sins and embracing death. And so he says, we know and we have. And then in Genesis 7, he makes an appeal to receive not the faces of God. Be also in love. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Receive us. A number of appeals, calculating chapter 6. So that you might be by the seven chapters then, chapters 1-2, Paul reveals his motive. Chapter 3, he describes his service to them. Chapter 4 and 5, he expresses his assurance to them. 6 and 7, he makes appeals. And that is as far as you'll be ready for the end. Now I want to look now at a minute of thinking of the friendly Australian. May I say to the leaders, if young men would like to ask questions, do not hesitate to do so. I am not in the business of slapping their heads or being silent. And the question that you may want to ask may be a question, but I guess it will be the question that you want to ask. Can we encourage our young men to ask questions, not to ask critics? And then we get your options. Don't leave it to these wrong opinions. This is certainly not any part of where I live. When the old men, the young men, they were told their business was a symbolism. And when they came old men, all they could do was symbolism.
all called the lost of Jesus Christ, true to the Father,
and possibly another on the church of God, which is the man of God. The very sentence I'm taking both verses is actually the apostle through the will of God. Perhaps a greater emphasis in the verse than the second, but other
in Hebrews, it just doesn't say the church of God is in front of them. And then in John here, it says the church of God is in front of them. All the saints in every act, I believe it is very distinct that I know a meaningful difference in the way that the cause of the rest is being in that.
Every other church of God, we can find that the expression of church of God. Now, I don't have the whole picture. But I gather that in the old dictionaries of the Bible readers, there was a verb we don't have in English. To corrigere. And it meant to reverse, to reduce to the lowest possible level. And here says the apostle, the church of God, with all its purity, in such a place as a car, with all its actions to travel. Let's remember the law of the life of the world in which we live. Corinthian Christians are really doing, are they not, in what is us? How far it is to recognize the purity and holiness of the true harvest that comes of God's people. But as I hope you have pointed out, here in the second epistle, there is a slightly wider frame. It is to all saints we are in all the time.
Yes, so definitely. But I think that there's something here in the Bible in turn of God. In 1 Corinthians, the apostle says in the church of God, called saints. Now, generally speaking, commentators believe rather than explaining this, leading that he's pleased to that, the church of God, Corinth, and then he says, this is addressed to all those who are crossing in every place. I think that that's the plot. The first thing is to have an honor of the apostle saying, so the church of God is in front. And if you are crossing, all men can call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in place. In other words, what we have in 1 Corinthians are literal problems with which it deals. And if you live by addressing the local assembly in Corinth, when we come to the second epistle, he says, the church of God, the calling of the dead, problems very much today. The question of the election, for instance, is not only one pertaining to infancy, but also to all of the dead. So, because of that, particularly in the taxing of the person, it's evident that the apostle Paul here is addressing not merely the saints of the church of God, the current world, the wider scale, the wider scale altogether.
Memory, there are so many people today who look at personal, particularly, and say that they dealt with global problems which were cultural impact. And therefore, what the teaching of those 30 years is not applicable today. Let's notice about the human nature of one of the persons, we think of others in our community, who may be evident of what he thought in Corinth, he commanded in all the church. We must never reduce the teaching of First Corinthians as being a local, cultural matter. Great principles are new, and teaching must be made better. We get to find that fellowship that causes the spread of language to the larger. Now,
you mentioned in relation to the Church of God that God has something that is pure in the society. I think that needs to be clarified insofar as far as their seeking is concerned, they were far from pure. So this has to do with their standing. To my mind, it goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the church of God calls to describe the temple of God, and Paul says, for the temple of God is holy, which temple we are. As to their state, they were far from pure. As to their standing, they were most certainly holy. And yet, when you go on to the next verse, there's indication of the fact that we should strive to be in Christ what we are in Christ.
because he was also in corruption. If any man has corruption, the temple is corrupt.
Another thing that is in our time, first of all, humanly speaking, it was human logic to say that we have to work the walls in favor of opposition. But that's not the way this is written from God in this. We are shown our position in us, and we are to work in our position and our being matters. And one thing that is pointed out, the same word, is not an achievement, is not an attainment, but the practice of this. Thus, the kingdom of God begins to remember that we have been set apart for God, and we shall have to be positioned in Christ, and we are to display that in the practical world. May the saints of God have taught that they will not be able to be now, when we look at this one, very mind in the certain time by the year on the other floor,
can you tell? So, first Corinthians 15, start new that new philosophy, second Corinthians 15, start new life, and start order. So, where the reform is, it's
thank you for that. I rather refer particularly to Romans chapter 7 that I was saying on the way forward to the cross. And we can lay aside that. Sometimes after the things are wrong, you know, the number of God's people, on the other hand, all of us play actively there and never have to ask how many people. The apostle was never given us up to spirit. Where there is destruction, sin, weakness is not possible. We can rise to our knees and intercept and pray for the Lord and we must rejoice in that. Now let's look at the second verse. Praising the vision of our Father and God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, praising this, I'd like to find the two characteristic readings. The Paris, the Greeks, and the Hebrews, you may like to live in my back. You may want to say, we are in our world, and on that peace, we have grace, and therefore there is a chronological order, a spiritual order. Grace, of course, is what our verses will brought, and this is what we lack. And so you may like to live for these four spirits. Your message is a joint reading of God and our Father, and the Lord.
This is just a formality. Or does it have a
particular meaning?
This
is a grace. Now, Paul uses those phrases with the other hand. Under the English word, penitent, verse 15. And in this confidence, I'm delighted to come to you before, he might have a shadow of penitent in the word grace. And so when we think of grace, we think of benefit. Now we have grace and peace. Another lady is really saying, I think, how much this family needs. They needed grace, they needed to be received all spiritual benefit that God through Christ was actually to them, and as a result of that, they needed to be received. Next, the language. Where we have an activity of the positive, who did anything for the purpose of creating a vision, and the acrimony of vigilance. And so I think I did rather find my own context for this to show how much we look at them. Yes, what I have in mind is that there is a great deal of correction in this and Paul is indicating that God will supply you the grace to make a necessary correction. But we have to be a cause and effect. The cause is grace, the effect is peace. So that when you and I respond to correct ministry, as we should respond, it brings peace into our own souls, but it also brings peace to circumstances. And what is true of the gospel? Grace, and it is true of the gospel.
You say that the believer needs grace to act. Not going to end up with conversion.
That's right. That is why the word grace in the New Testament is And I got the money by using translation and Google translation. And it may not be the exact translation, but it is well in shape. When we think of the precious law of the gospel, we think of the greatest benefit available. When we think of the precious law of the world, we think of the benefit of the gospel. And you might not be that long of a relation. Yes, sir. I know you would think of it as a law, but there is something unique and peculiar, a unique relationship between the law and the Christians. There is something blessed be the law and not about who Jesus
Christ. Blessed. The word blessed here, blessed be the blessed, yes, the Lord is. You can not turn the beatitude of
Jesus
Christ. Is this distinct from that? This is what essentially it
is. I think so. I know that the word Kairos and the idea of passion happens to some people who have spoken the gospel of happy God or the blessed God. I'm not too happy about that, but I think I can. Now, what God is the true
blessed?
This is not for the blessed. This
is for the blessed. The word here is the idea of receiving well off. You and my son are ready to all be constantly. Any kind of love is what is done by the Lord Jesus
Christ. Do you say it? He's the one who's doing it. He's the one who's doing it.
Our energy of God in this conversation with the Lord.
still inside and trust in the name of God and his power.
And truth to say that as God mercies and delivers us from our hearts, and as God comes and supports us in our
hearts. Yes, you should pray that God bless us, God bless us,
sir. Yes, Father.
God bless us, yes, Father. Now, thinking out of us, all of us, we have here verse 4, 3 and 4. We have now wrong in the law. I see that in a very hard way. The Lord is open. Then we have, hope beyond the law, which is in verse 9.
Yes.
That even if the Father calls to death, there's a call. And then verse 11, we have also a man who calls the prayers. So it's a threefold way and it's wrong. It's not wrong.
I don't want to be a self-centered person like I am then either.
But the one holding you can hear yourself is the help around him in his own heart because of sin. You see the hand crossed. No more than you see that in yourself, that's the open door to the doubt and how hard it is. But how do you bring it up and look at the difficulties? You see the hand crossed, and he puts himself in a position to allow that to be commanded. If I can be very courageous of you, the correlation which I heard of you twice, the Spirit of God does not speak of himself from himself. Yeah, he does speak of himself. He doesn't speak from himself. I'll get to it for you.
The word tribulation here in the question I know is that persecution is from the that's not what that means, is it?
The idea is that might be given out, I think perhaps looking down at the 100 verses 9 and 10, that might be the context that I was pointing out. The word is pressure, it could be pressure of so many sorts, but then every other notice is, who comes to the realizing that we may have every kind of thing in front of any. So there is a wisdom, a wisdom. And that may be the reason sometimes we have our saints, why we don't have all the details that we look for. What was Paul supporting in your saints? Well, I don't know, I'm very much interested in the interpretation. Well, the word of God is here for the simple reason that if we know who we can say, well, that's why Paul and that's why we did. The God will never matter. So that whatever our view is, slowly, we may face that in God. Here we do observe four different sensitiveness that are again in the trouble of our
illusions. First Corinthians, we are all teachers. Second Corinthians, we are all pastors. I think it's a lot of choice.
And comfort. Understand the idea that you have a lot of choice. That's the usual legal term that I'm going to take the law and the law of the law. But it is the idea that one comes alongside and we all say,
from God's
He's not here to go on a long time. That's not the protected. He provides the protection. I don't say that's not the AI. It's the strength of God himself.
That's all I've done a good those of the
yes, it's just a happy level of sorrow and despair, assurance, our beautiful responses crashed over our little hearts and hearts. And you know what I mean? Whatever I said, we need to but we didn't even get it.
Well, I think Paul, and he did, I think because of his actions,
that suffering is the norm to God's Lord's people and servants. A great joy and affection is open unto me, and as all of my services there are, but and many actions. And I think Paul is giving that humanity that the norm in his gospel that man always made enemies. We may see this later on, because we were letting you know the word. As soon as the work of God was undertaken, the enemy appears. As soon as the work of God, the enemy goes into the final mission. Stop again, back up again. So that the people of God in our service, we must expect it. Let's remember that the enemy, we're going his character, we see his aggressive possession, and therefore he will do all in his terrible power in order to frustrate and annoy us. So I think that we cannot serve God, and a lot of people cannot serve anything else but the difficulty of God. Certainly, if you wish to avoid that sort of thing, go serve the Lord, because you've got very much good in serving the Lord, and you can serve the Lord.
We do not go out of the room to live just depending on this world. But it does seem that it's much more personal than what we find in the first Corinthians 15, which is affecting the entire incident. And further, it would appear as though the decisions are already being concerned with the way these conflicts and that is not. But it says here, I wouldn't have you remain ignorant with regard to my brother Jesus. I'm in fact believing, and it is a trick of opinion, which is only one that comes to the point where I'm 36 or whatever. The point is, it seems as though the Apostle Paul was actually in trouble here, how quiet, as well as all these other pressures of the conflict. Is there any moment that the man ceases to love you?
Well, look, there's a paragraph here, too.
Verse
2 says, sometimes we do become over oppressed by our circumstances. Paul at least indicates here that he was self-serving, and he wasn't always right in what he was doing. Sometimes he was out of his heart. He spared even a lot of people. I think that's very valuable. He was never there that the great character of the life was secret. If I think of a man like Cassius Clio, my own eye, when he saw the wrong journey, he said, think of your remark, your remark comes to many of you. You saw me in your own credit for those journeys that you bore. You say, how dare you so lose me? The Lord himself. Now, what about the glory of the gospel? The way you draw down and have to do it. I was with you in the chairs of those foreign and can do it in weakness, and in fear, and in much trouble, because this is the story. Let's remember, these were men of one kind and the other. Here is the one who was positive. God uses men, and they are the same kind of the other that God is able to use. God himself, of course, but he uses them. So we can take courage from this, as our brother David is very important. Now we have a sentence of death in ourselves. We have an answer of death. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, we can praise it with it. Is Paul really saying here, Mr. McTrain, in his heart, we suggest this, on 2 Corinthians, that Paul is only seeing one answer to his circumstances after death. You know, he said he died early, losing life. Why can't he be happy in every hour? Paul kept the coming year that he kept side by side and his death by side. And so here's the picture. I agree with that, you brother. How it is something very personal, very particular. We have the answer to death in ourselves. The picture of God is crushing ourselves. But in God, we can raise it to death. So that the combined weight of these circumstances in the heart's faith in God. Surely, if you have a certain idea of the privations and difficulties, we fail to lose significance in the matter of the least. But nonetheless, our privations and
what is the difference between the word of our King James Version sentence and then the margin because of the idea of answer?
Well, the word sentence is the word answer.
That seems to be the case.
The Greek word used comes from the word judge. So it seems to be a matter of Paul having his tendency to watch himself as he has the idea.
This is a conclusion.
But the conclusion of the Greek is that a present man, a lost man, is not able to despair either. The conclusion of the Greek is that I think the point is he faced it before he entered the circumstance. No one was in the possibility. I think often if we look into the future and talk to ourselves about this might cause the ability and difficulty that maybe the bread of the dead, we might not call the dead or something. But Paul has taken it from himself. And he goes to the dead.
You see where the word comes from, and the dead of the dead. Paul, passing sentence, this man, the brethren, heavy circumstance, who judges this particular situation, what he said, it's true where the condition is dead, and there is an answer that you have.
And this is a literary guess. He said something similar, of course, in the chapter 4. Remember that boy in the regular reading, not very sorry, not distressed, but reckoning on his careless youth, not something fair in their pleasure. So we look at that there, for the service, three things emerge. Who delivered us from so great there? And not deliver. In whom we trust that we will get delivered. Now I know we're not as though we're just slightly different, but it is not fair to say that we all rise on to be delivered. When it speaks about this salvation from men, and I'll give that as a matter of the view, it's a very important thing. As for all, confidence is inherited. It's not in our hearts. Remember that it is theirs. For within you, it is. If she never leaves her, I hold in your view, confirm her to be there to see what I'm sure. And so observe, Paul says, who delivers us from so great in there, and does deliver, in whom we trust that we will get deliverance. So the salvation of the Lord is joy, calm, what seems to be inner death, very complex, in courage, confidence. Secondly, as to the saints of God, he was an answer to prayer. He also helped him. I give you an underverse here. He also helped him together by prayer for us. That was a gift bestowed upon us. I tell you that to give you salvation from the circumstances, from the sentence of death, to which he makes reference to the most guided person, and by the means of many persons, then the third act of God. Thanks may be given by many of them. So Paul looks at his experience, he said, number three, number one, my confidence is enhanced. Number two, your prayers are answered. Number three, as you have your mind good, thanks given by many of them.
Being in God, and the reason for that,
We see the apostle here says, thank you for talking. In fact, the Bible does say, we have the kingdom of God. The answer to that one said,
yes.
So the experience of the apostle Paul, however he experienced as he was, the answer to that, or rather the result of that, is his own experience of the kingdom.
This is contrast to what Paul does. They know where you will not be fed to the Lord God if you're true.
Look at that.
And
he's speaking now of all the ability of God, and we have to speak all the ability of God. Okay, 2 verses 50 moment. Now, what is the movie now? Okay, it's about the end of the chapter. Other than you can have a look at this room, and not the end. But we won't be able to teach. And so we must have the least to think about without providing when it will be yes. And we're giving now verse 12 at the end, that the emphasis is not coming from external pressure being brought to bear upon him, but we should concern for the dear section of our life. I suggest in verse 12 his attitude to them. Verses 13 to 14 his letter to them. And then verses 15 to the end, his mission to let's look at his attitude. Now, certainly, for our rejoicing is this. He's speaking about their prayer soul. Now, he says, I want you to understand that you who is praying for someone who is worthy of your prayers. But our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our confidence. That is implicitly and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we let our commentary in the world and more abundantly to you all. He's saying in that book you have been praying for someone who is not within integrity to do it. Now, notice this attitude towards the world of the world of two things. He was with a clear promise. He says, the testimony of our conscience. Now that's what he calls. Paul is a good conscience towards such a God. He was being accused otherwise by his practice. I just ask myself, am I a good conscience? In relation to this century, it is my intelligence. I want to be aware of whether you might ask ourselves the same question. And then it was a matter of what could be done for them to argue with us? It was in simplicity and sincerity. Now I know that simplicity might have an idea of holiness about it. Simplicity and godly sincerity, the word sincerity here of course is a very well-known Greek word, which means etymologically, that's a second line of the Greek, which is what I really care about. Testify someone, and it's the idea of a Greek love, to be shattered, and some foot behind a stool, some Greek of war, is probably completely being a genuine article, and you hold it up, and the sunlight shines through the blazes of white, but it's not sincere, sincere of a hidden warm. And so Paul speaks of his sincerity and his genuine school. And then thirdly, he says about his attitude of not any fleshliness, but by the way, no simplicity. He's manipulating people to move around the core of the testimony. God's all he says is by the grace of God, not here in the universe, but in the heavens. These are very important lessons from our Lord.
You know, it's a conversation in relation to everyone and in relation to the world. We sort of lose in here that whatever the circumstances that we've all involved, they're not the result of a conversation or a wake-up, nor are they the result of a result of a conference. But is there a reason for anything else? I think there are a certain problem with the way of life, and they often have a conference.
Paul is beginning here in this particular section, particularly in the chapter 2, to make it perfectly clear that he was a man of integrity. Now, he's been accused otherwise by his matters. Now, there are various accusations as we go through this second verse. more taking a properly clear of the threshold of the citizen than his attitude towards service was an attitude held in good conscience, and he always acted in a good conscience and in a good all circumstances of being thrown against him, but he wasn't sincere, he wasn't genuine. Look, that's how you can help us in coming directly to us, but now he's coming to our subject, to our conscience. Paul says the apostle, in my conscience, I am no actor in charge. He says, the testament of our conscience is physically and bodily. Our blessed wisdom by the grace of God. And our conversation in the world, and you will be sanctified in that particular opportunity.
You know the verse 12?
Would you have a person in that regard?
Okay. I'm just going to say in verse 12, it's very evident that the Apostle Paul is answering to this issue, too, but he's actually describing his behavior in the world and especially for his own that was based on good conscience and completely pure good will. My brothers and sisters, as far as we are concerned, in a walk with the world and in a walk among each other, this should be part of him too.
Did you get any other
questions? Is there a particular thing that you can do in Peter's words in 1 Peter 2, or is there possibly a separate prophecy that we can suffer for our own walk? And that would be really, really interesting.
I think you had a point in there that the children of the were certainly students in a God movement. But Paul is just hearing such a so we have this right attitude towards. Can I ever say this? Nobody ever says, even in a sense of life, we sometimes know what it is for people to lobby us, to get the whole onto their side, to manipulate people, to move them from one point to the other, to share about this, or somehow this other war, seeking competition, I think you said. Now Paul says, I am not given to that at all. There's always this sincerity, my conscience was right, my manner of living was right. He said, it's not this fleshly vision, but by the grace of God. How often in decisions of you with sexual problems, we resolve a fleshly system. He said, waiting upon God for grace and help and guidance. So he speaks of his attitude before them in verse 12. Now in verse 13 and 14, he speaks of looking like the one who was there in the ashes. He has his letter to them. Now he writes none other things unto you than what he really or acknowledge. In other words, because I have no faith again, what you read is what I'm leading you to understand. Now, I think that's very important. I remember my very sharing on many, many years ago with the editor of a now defunct English Christian Pacifical Religious. Now let us begin. The rabbi which was on our father's father, our old man, the young man. We don't just know the son of the three sisters of the same. Now he didn't go the other way. Or no. He just left the thing in. Well, that is a hidden thing. We have not seen. And you observe the apostle said, now, there's no hidden thing. We write none other things unto you than what you read or know. Let's be straight up and down with that. Not hidden to you for the sake. What sometimes we call the disclosed is really downright deception. And so says the apostle, none other things than what you read or know. I trust you will acknowledge, even up to the end, of what's the end, will I take you to the end of your
was he with me? And then the words that I read out there, so he said, his foot seed is what he had. And it was a fall that he did.
Let's go on with the gospel thing you're talking about. What we're going to do next is ask you how to call these conceived thoughts that we are glorious in either the being of ours in the study of the Lord Jesus. Now, asking them to call these conceived thoughts could point us to the fact that the Son of God had a call. They were others who did not. Teaching how very of the four speakers. Or it could be that they're in the service, but it means that they are coming in with any part of his teaching and not for. I make the reference to the custom.
I agree with that. The brother still on the front of that, I think we won't prove that far. But we find out that there's another artist and the brothers who have not said the books of our
needs. And it is all being spoken of on the occasion. And we thought that Paul came to you that he was saying the first one. We thought of his letter to Germany, verses 13 and 14. Let's just notice today that the Lord Jesus at the end of verse 14 reminds us of how important it is in our faith in our teacher. First Corinthians chapter 4 in man's study, are we reading it or are we learning man's coming? When the Lord Jesus comes, we enter the day of Christ or the day of the Lord Jesus Christ or the day of Jesus Christ. The background is always 7 and the idea is that of the Lord. On the other is the day of the Lord. Background that is judgment, not necessarily legal judgment, but that's very part of the way we're doing it, part of illustrating the way we're going along the end of the day. And then we have the study of God. So important to notice is man's study, the study of Christ, the study of the Lord, and the study of God. So when we think in general expression that we hear at the end of the story of the study of the Lord, we say, we're beginning the time and we're going to be my testimony is that day when we are holy ever before him, that we are your words, even if we are now also in the world, I'm going to rejoice over you, Jesus, when the Lord comes. Now, let's finish this book, written now in verse 15 down at the end. And in this conference, I was minded to come up here before that you might have a second benefit. I might know a second verse. They observe the good of verse 16 and enhanced by you in Macedonia. Paul said, my original purpose was to come to you directly into Macedonia, back to you, and then offer to you again, having received Paul with the many service in you. Paul came not by that group, he came by Macedonia. And chugging the group, cause problems so far as the end is concerned. The only thing that's stuck now is verse 17, where I therefore was not signed, did I use words? All things that I've heard, my first thought for the man, that the bee there would be better, and better, then charging him of his ability, of brilliance, to make his mind up and harsh. For it is now a harsh show, that the ultimate truth, that the very best possible reason,
Macedonia, the Corinth, and that's the Macedonia, and down the coast. and three things stand out. There was an initial plan before the Lord. Initial plan is altered by atonement and condition. And then both plans alter the being by opposition in the world in Acts
20.
So a man's plan, then, can be altered by the circumstances of the man or circumstances of the world. The underlying thing is that we're not to judge the hope or the plan.
We always need to remember that any plan that we make is of the will of God. And indeed, plus is the will of God that should be in the world. But the point that Paul has to make here is to show, as our brother pointed out, that there are very good reasons for that. For they were charging him with, we say, go get it, and they go. Now notice what Paul does. He states his original intention in verse 15 and 16. Paul says, he confirmed his integrity of that original intention in verses 17 and 18. And in so doing, he places his original intention on the highest possible level. It was in accordance with the character of God and in accordance with the word of God. So all that Paul intended to do in God's for that character. And so you observe, he says, as we come down now, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and still greater than the devoted, that expression by us is first four times, and I think in 1 Corinthians, which is most to do with most of you all to pray it through. We have time now. But Paul is saying, look, my character, reflecting the character of the gospel of my church. There was no discrepancy between what I preach and my integrity and character. Now we observed that very briefly last night in the South Moon. We say, dear fellow saints, that we hold truth. We say that this is right. We hold right God. Thank God if you say that always at humility. But the dear saints of God, the question is what we may say is right. Are we right? Am I according to the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things? Am I a living epistle, even known of all men? Paul says, the character of my religion reflected in my own personal character. There is the integrity of it, produced no uncertainty in any way. Paul says, I made my original promise to come to you by a certain group. I did absolutely integrity and character. But the broader point there, in several circumstances and circumstances in the world, demanded each other. Made with integrity.
The difference between the Jews here is constantly the revised version showing fickleness.
Yes.
The word appears in this occasion only never anywhere else in the New Testament. But the idea is that Paul is saying here that he gave a change of mind to the individual without any consideration. In fact, the other occasion where you find the idea of likeness is a company word, a related word. Our Lord Jesus, you remember, said, take my yoke upon me, never think for my burden is light, or my yoke is light. And when we take upon us the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must remember that it's not something that you should shy away from. Even if you did give it to consideration, you don't need to, because the yoke is such a wonderful, easy yoke to bear. And then when you come into the fourth chapter, this is just what the apostle speaks about, the light conviction. And even though it reaches our head at the 90th chapter 1, the apostle reminds us that we don't need to give them the only consideration.
There was no discrepancy between faithfulness and opposition, that God is true, not gay and gay, and blessing. Now we've got four statements that good brother opened the door very nicely, in connection with the preacher. And the word here, of course, is confirmation, the Caruso, but that is the subject of the preacher. The Son of God, Jesus.
nobody ever let my county, or any more people, the son of Jesus Christ. Now, we may have to call the word here, and if you'll because we can say it in his direction. I'm his brother, my good brother, you're your brother, the King of the Universe. It is the son of Jesus Christ. There's a son of Jesus Christ. And if I was a bear, then he came to the bear, he didn't do it. By me, he answered, I was in the bear. They all went to the same head. One just about to, irreconcilable together. There was harmony. The certainty of the wicked, he didn't do it. The result of the wicked, and the glory of God. Now, I know there's a little bit in the parenthesis here, to the very same. And that expression, under the glory of God upon us, is really directly connected to the end of the verse 19. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is really magnified us, even by means of the famous of the Holy Spirit, does not go back, but attempt to go under the glory of God upon us. And in the living words, all the promises of God, if you are read, then will be placed.
We see the truth of James. James said, you should say, if the Lord will, and you did it, even apostles and flesh have been changed.
If you remember, now, can I just say to you, this lovely Jesus Christ, of all the promises of God in you, are yea and in you, amen. So I will be articulated for whatsoever promises of God there are in him, it is pleasing, yea. And the reference goes back, of course, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Only therefore, the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, the Amen God, is the good. Isaiah chapter 65, he who blesses himself in the earth, the blessed himself in the God of truth, is the God of Amen. And so we find these allusive truths back to the absolute inevitable. Now, when Paul talks about the promises of God, he says, number one, they're vested in Christ, we look at that, and they are assured by the Holy Spirit. We come to the end of our first sermon. I don't want you to notice the anointing, and the singing, and the verse. They're assured by the fact that we have been anointed by the Spirit of God, king of anointing, officer anointing, priest of anointing. The idea of anointing is setting apart. Stability, the idea is ownership. We can seal the Holy Spirit of Christ, and it can be testified in Jeremiah chapter 32, where the prophecy and the deal of my uncle's son, Titan B, was sealed in indicative ownership. The ownership of the citizens, Revelation chapter 7, the real ones, not related forces. The real ones, not that others, not the real ones. They are sealed with the seal of the living God. They are mine, not touched by the deprivation of the demon curse or the persecution of the beast. They're heralded at every one of them there in Revelation chapter 14. It's the idea of ownership. But the idea of the earnestness of the Spirit is anything. I have never been to Greece, but I'm told that I was on the road to Greece on these lovely tours, and I was going to some Greek marketplace to save some time, and the lady with the great hair, flashing eyes, reading television on the arm of a young man who was calling him, I am from the man who is this. I have a word in my Bible, however, we never believe this. We show you that again. Because the word is still used, it's only an English for the name. What is the name of Greek? And then later it's a thing that's my knowledge. Well, the name of Greek, in all seriousness, of course, is the play from the young man to the singer that is going to win all his heart in her in marriage. Do you have a section that he heard? God's that the top stone of divine grace thereof is going to be put in Christ. And we're going to be without blessed rule. And we're going to be right. So the promises of God are vested in Christ in every beginning. And they are sure by those of us who have anointed, we have seen, and we have heard. Paul uses this language can't review this topic in common to the brothers and how they are subject to all the rules tomorrow. I think you're all ready to have a good time.